And shout out to All in One Sports. Great podcast. Check them out. Thanks. Paul Bissonnette here.
Hey, what's going on, sports fans? It's All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky here back on the Ricky O Show fan page. We are back. We're bringing it to you daily, every day. One of us will be here talking sports with you. And then on Thursday nights, it's opinions, it's hot takes, it's wrestling here on All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. Ricky, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Jimbo. How are you? Jimmy, I want to start the show off by saying I got to bow to you a little bit. You know, I talk a lot of shit all season long for the last 2 years to you, but you guys stepped up and absolutely just you shook up the whole organization. Congratulations on a phenomenal season with the Devils. And I just cannot wait until they go up and get what the fuck, Holla Buck, Uncle Buck out of Winnipeg as a goaltender. And I will be honest with you, if that free agent signings takes place, that team is a legit cup contender.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, no, I know. I mean, look, we break it down. We respect each other's opinions, Rangers, Devils, it doesn't matter. That's why we work out so well together. This is what we're doing here. Yeah, I mean, look, the Devils Rangers series was great, but they definitely shaken up things in the Rangers organization. Good, bad, or indifferent. But I mean, I know you sent me a thing today about the next head coach. What are you hearing?
All right. Well, my good friend Sean McCaff, he was on the show a couple times with me to discuss his books. And Sean is a lifelong friend of mine who's all of a sudden in the last 5 years become a very prominent New York Rangers source. He's a award-winning book writer, New York Times bestseller author with the Rangers. He's got three books out already. He's got a fourth book coming out on the Rangers. And I'm not going to give away his sources, but he's got some very high up NHL sources who've told him the Rangers aren't making a decision until the finals are over. And Joel Quenneville will be the next coach of the New York Rangers. And Sean is not a guy who just makes up rumors. He's not a monger. He's not one of these guys who just throws shit out there and tries to get one right. He's dead on when he says something. He's a very serious individual. He's one of the best hockey writers I've ever had a pleasure of reading. And he came to me and said, that's the next Ranger head coach. And I got to believe him. I was in the corner of Patrick Roy. I'm very, very confused because a couple of weeks ago, the insiders out of Canada stated that the Rangers were waiting for the Memorial Cup to end to interview Roy. I don't understand why Molly Walker, who's absolutely clueless in my opinion, she holds no credibility, but the New York Post has come out and said they're not interviewing Roy at all. There's no interest, which is very shocking to me that you wouldn't even give him an interview. And they're supposedly very close friends, him and Drury. They won a cup together. They were teammates together. So it's a little suspicious to me. I'll be honest with you. If it falls to Laviolette or Hines, I got to hope for Laviolette. I don't want Hines anywhere near the New York Rangers. Watching him here in Nashville and talking to some very high up insiders in the Preds organizations this week, he lost the team, the veterans there. The young guys love him. The young guys played very hard for him. He developed a lot of talent here this year and got some guys that were borderline prospects and very young prospects to play at the top of their game in Nashville. But he lost the locker room when it came to veterans. And with the Ranger veteran team, we can't afford to have that happen. And we've had so many coaches so far. We've had two coaches mishandle guys like Lafreniere. And we've seen Miller just tragically regress this season. I mean, you know, I'm not a Miller fan. I hope to God that he's trade bait at the draft. But yeah, I'm hearing Joel Quenneville. I was very shocked. I was told Gordon Murphy had retained his job. The Rangers reported last week they were keeping Gordon Murphy. Gordon Murphy was let go yesterday. So I think it's a veteran coach who's negotiating his own terms behind the scenes. And the only one that has that kind of power right now is Quenneville, because Peter Laviolette is not carrying that stroke anymore. Ever since his cup appearance, he's gone straight downhill, and Hines was fired by Nash. So I'm going with I'm 100% going to go with Sean's opinion and say it's Joel Quenneville.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, considering if Laviolette was the guy and he was the front runner from the start, this should have been done already. The fact that it isn't and it continues to linger with the finals going on and what Gary Bettman said at the press conference in game one of the Stanley Cup final, it makes me wonder they're waiting, even though, again, reports have said, well, they're not interested. Well, guess what? They're interested until the decision comes out. And I got to believe that exactly. It's got to be Quenneville too. Like, it's taking this long, it makes sense that they're waiting on Quenneville. It just makes the most sense.
It does. And you really can't risk an inexperienced coach here. The window is shrinking with this team. The cap not going up much is really going to hurt them. I mean, they have about $1 million for a backup goalie this year, allotted for that. They have Miller and Lafreniere as restricted free agents. Bridge contracts, hopefully, there. But there's not a lot of room. They cannot make a mistake. They've got about a two-year window left, and they've got to pick the right guy right now. Even though I'm dead set against Quenneville as a human being, after everything that went on in Chicago, I don't think he should ever coach again. But that's not my decision. I want to win a cup. I'm just a fan, and if he's the right guy, he's the right guy. But I do want to go on the record and say that I think Gerard Gallant got a complete screwing. Highest winning percentage in the history of the Rangers. The guy was nothing. Everybody, he was outcoached. He didn't adjust in games. He didn't listen. Panarin shit the bed. Panarin disappeared in the playoffs. So did Jesus Twin Zibanejad. Did absolutely nothing. You can't have guys just disappear in the biggest games of the year and become floaters. Now it's Panarin's got ADHD or whatever obsessive compulsive syndrome. I guess it's not winning. He's obsessively compulsive with losing. I don't know what it is, but you can't keep blaming coaches. At some point, the Ranger fat dogs and hot dogs got to be held responsible. You have to have a team of guys that want to win, and I don't see that with this team.
No, I don't either. And I think the biggest mistake was getting rid of Ryan Reeves. And I agree with Gallant. I think he got a raw deal. I think the fact of the matter is the same thing that Devils fans are saying about their team in the second round. Top guys just not showing up. Again, that's what you need to do in your playoffs. When you pay these guys over $10 million, they need to show up. They need to perform. They didn't perform. I know the coach falls on the sword. I know the coach gets fired. I know there was some rift between Jury and him. Look, Jury made mistakes this year at the trade deadline, and then they built the team. Then they tried to put all
Jury didn't make mistakes just at the trade deadline, Jim. Jury also forced the hand on trading Ryan Reeves to keep Sammy Blais. And, okay, Sammy Blais turned into Tarasenko. We can't argue that. But Sammy Blais had no business being around that team this year. He was an abomination the first 40 games of the year.
Yeah, I mean, coming off the injuries. But I'm looking
and
at
people
more
don't
of
understand. John, I'm sorry to cut you off, but what people don't understand is the best friend on that team, the guy who idolized Reeves. If you go back and look at any video of pregame warmups or release us, Shesterkin, who's standing next to Ryan Reeves in every video? Alexei Lafreniere. He's always laughing. Reeves took him under his wing. Personally, being on the road with the Rangers a couple times down here in Nashville and St. Louis and going out around the team for dinner, they're side by side. He lost his mentor. He might not be the skills guy, but he was the guy who was helping Lafreniere acclimate to the NHL. He said to him, kid, I got you. Anybody touches you, they're dead. All of a sudden, that's taken out of the locker room. I don't like that. The guy came in. All right, Ryan Reeves is not a Rick Tocchet. You know, he's not that guy. He's not Kachuk. He's not Matt or Brady Kachuk. He's not. But you know what he is? He's a bullet to put in the gun when somebody's breaking into your house.
Yeah.
And they lost that in the last 25 games of the season. And then in the playoffs, I don't think he would have made a difference in the series. But emotionally, maybe he comes in the locker room and just smacks somebody in the face and says, wake up. You know, what are you doing? And obviously, we didn't have that, Jim.
No, I know. And then it was clearly seen. And, you know, I was there for Kane's first game with the Rangers, and they put the power play right around him. And you could clearly see he was injured. He was hurt. And obviously he's getting the hip reconstruction, you know, resurfacing. And look, out 4 to 5 to 6 months. I mean, look, there's a lot of things the Rangers need to do. You hit the nail on the head. You got to get the veteran guy in, but you got to work with the young guys to get better. And, you know, that's what we're seeing. You know, with the two teams in the Stanley Cup final right now with Vegas and Florida, it's been a great series. If you're a Vegas fan, they're doing what I expected them to do through the first two games because Florida was off for 10 days. It just, you know, Vegas is the dominating. They dominated game two. You know, they're just playing as a complete team, physical, big body. They understand how to win, and they're giving Florida, you know, a run for their money, and Florida needs to understand that, you know, what they did in the Eastern Conference to get to this point, hey, you can't push around a bigger team.
Right. But who molded that team in Vegas?
Ryan Reeves.
That's a Gallant team still. His thumbprint's all over that team.
Yeah, and they just needed another coach to put him over in Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, I mean, Cassidy's a phenomenal coach. I mean, you know, anybody would take him if he was available. He's a great coach. Let's talk about the hit. I want to see what your opinion is first, and then I'll give mine.
And both of them. I mean, the Barbashev on Gudas hit was great hockey play. And
great hockey.
Same with Tkachuk and Eichel. I mean, Eichel even said toe picked. He didn't see him coming. You know, he caught him at the last minute. I thought it was a great hit. I mean, that's what Tkachuk does. And you know what? It sparked a melee. I mean, that's what the Panthers do. I mean, look, there were some things he, you know, other antics that he got 10-minute misconducts for. But as far as the hit was good, I thought it was a clean hit. I thought it was fine. You know, I'm glad Eichel came back.
Yes, I'm glad he's not hurt. I mean, I'm not an Eichel fan. I personally do not like Jack Eichel. I've met him. I think he's an arrogant prick. But I'm glad he's not hurt. He's a tremendous hockey player. But, man, those two brothers, bro, I would hate to see if they ever got on the same team because they would cause riots. They're late 1980 hockey players. They're the closest you'll ever see to Cam Neely and Rick Tocchet ever again in the NHL, guys that could score 40, 50 goals and beat the shit out of you. I love them both. I love their dad. I was an original Walt Tkachuk fan, who's no relation to them, but that was my favorite Ranger of all time, so I'm big on the name. But the hit, what made the hit look worse than it was the fact that Eichel toe-picked. I don't think people realized he was stumbling forward, and it actually led to him getting bent in half, and I thought he was hurt. I mean, when he got up and ran down the runway to the locker room, I really thought he was injured, you know, but I'm glad he wasn't. What do you think about the non-call on Tkachuk when he was slashed and kind of speared by the goalie, and then they go down and they scored 20 seconds later, and there was no penalty call? Do you think that's just letting the game go, or do you think that's a little one-sided officiating?
I mean, I think it's letting the game go. I think they understand that Tkachuk's going to do that kind of thing. I, you know, but again, you have to call penalties both ways, and you have to let – if you're going to call Florida for doing some antics things, you have to call Aiden Hill for what he's doing. I mean, he threw a blocker shot in game one, didn't get called, and there was only one guy coming out of that melee. I think, again, you know, you got to call it both ways. I would not be shocked if Hill or some of the Golden Knights get some penalties in game three that we think are not penalties because they're in Florida. Again, the officiating's been bad all playoffs, but I think they're finally letting them play in the Stanley Cup final to a point, but they don't want the BS to happen late in.
Have you noticed the physicality in the last 2 years coming back in the NHL? I'm not talking just fighting. I'm talking about there's been, like, you know, the Trouba hits and the Tkachuk hits and the increased scrimmages are getting a little bit more violent again. I love the fact that the game's getting more physical. I don't want to see people injured. I'm old now. You know, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I'm not rooting for the Islander bus to go off a bridge like I did in 1979. But, you know, the game's getting a lot more physical. And I think the problem is with fans, and I'm one of them, they're letting them play in the Stanley Cup Finals, but in game 15 of the year, that would have been a 400-minute penalty game. And it's just the difference. You can't acclimate yourself as a fan because you're so used to the tugs getting called. You're so used to the pulls. And then all of a sudden, it's not being called. But let's just say this. It's not a series until somebody wins on the road. So exactly. If Florida wins the next two, we got a great series.
I will say this, throw a stat out there for you. Vegas 3-0 in game threes this year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, I mean,
that's why you're here, man. You're the stat dude.
Look, I'll give you another one. A carbon copy of 96 for the Florida Panthers. Keep it close in game one and get blown out in game two. I'm not saying triple overtime in game four. There's going to be a sweep. But Vegas knows how to show up when it matters. And like we said, Bruce Cassidy's such a great coach, and Gerard Gallant's molded this team, the original Misfits, Jonathan Marchessault, all those guys. I mean, look, game three goes Thursday night. It, you know, again, all eyeballs are going to be on Tkachuk and the Panthers to see what they can do. But, you know, right now Vegas in the driver's seat headed down to South Florida.
What organization let Jonathan go after spending 2 years on their minor league program?
The Florida Panthers.
The New York Rangers.
Oh, Marchessault, yeah.
Yeah,
Marchessault still went down to Florida. Florida traded him along with Riley Smith to protect Petrovic.
Yep. We only have a couple minutes left. You have to get on with NHL radio in a little bit. We know that. You know, Jimmy's climbing the ranks, and Jimmy's climbing the ranks on me. He's shot past me, but I'm proud of him. Hope he takes me for the ride with him when Gary Bettman hires him.
Absolutely, you know that's happening.
Gary Bettman hates me. Real quick, we got about 2 minutes before you have to go. TNT versus ESPN. I don't think there's a competition at all. TNT has just blown hockey coverage up, man. If TNT had this contract for 10 years, hockey would be the most popular sport in the world.
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, they've definitely taken a stride from last year. I didn't think TNT was great last year. I think they're coming into their own now, trying to model inside the NBA. But the fact that Biz is on there, you got Lundqvist. I know Lundqvist ain't your boy, but
I love him as an announcer. I absolutely love him.
I know he's so good. You got Anson Carter there. The dynamic, they're working together. When Wayne's there, it's great.
Wayne Gretzky just shooting one-liners at Biz all the time, just shooting them.
It's great. You got Connor Bedard, the number one pick, taking shots at Biz. He's there for the fun. It's about the fun. You know, they're doing great work there. And I love Lundqvist. I mean, look, we both agreed PK Subban. We talked about it last year. We both thought he was made for television. He is. He's doing good on ESPN. I thought
Messier was going to legit punch him in the face. I'll be honest with you.
So did I. I think Mark.
They fired Chelios. What do you think of that move?
I think that's a money move. That's a money move. They want to save some money because his contract's up. He's probably going to want more money, and they want to save some money.
I think PK, as much as I dislike him as a player, we did both say this last year he was going to end up on TV and be a star. Yeah. But he's 100%. Got to tone it down a little bit. With the lingering hit and stuff like that, he was a little too Mike Milbury for me. But you know, I think that comes with being a first year guy. He'll tone that down a little bit. He's great. I want to see them bring more young blood in. I don't even care if Messier goes at this point. He's not really adding anything.
I like Callahan, to be honest. I think Callahan does a good job for ESPN.
Really good.
I think Callahan.
You know who's going to be a gigantic TV star? Not next year, the year after. Ryan Reeves.
Reeves is going to be good. How about Brian Boyle on the NHL Network? He
looks
in.
A little bit like Frankenstein to me. He scares me a little bit.
He does, but he brings great insight. I'm going to tell you, he does. Hey, we can't – before – I know I got to run and stuff, but we cannot get out of here before mentioning the Iron Sheik's passing.
Yeah, I mean,
Sheiky, baby. That one hurt me today.
Devastating for me. I'm going to say this. 1993, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, in front of 1,200 people. There was a no-show on the card. Dennis Corluzzo and Tommy Cairo came to me and said, "You're wrestling the Iron Sheik." I had three professional wrestling workouts, if you want to call it. Iron Sheik took me in the ring, made it look like he beat the living shit out of me. He never laid a finger on me. Came back, and we forged a 30-something-year friendship. I mean, he is just... He was a mentor to me. I would call him. People don't need to know my business, but I would call him on a monthly basis, and just he'd answer the phone. I'd say, "Hey, Sheik, it's Uncle Ricky. I love you." He'd say, "I love you too." And then he would tell me right away, "I'm tired. I'm going to sleep." And he would go, "Call me tomorrow," and click, the phone would go. And he was just – I could tell – we're going to have a Sheik story hour next week. We'll just do that one night next week on Thursday with the wrestling. But you get ready for NHL Network. This was our first edition, guys. We're back. We're going to be here tomorrow night right after the game, and we'll recap game 3.
Absolutely. We will be here, All in One Sports, with Jimmy and Ricky. We'll be back.
All in One.
All in One, baby. All in One.